you know what we need to hear. God, this man is just a man. He's just flesh, and God, use him. But Lord, you can speak to him that he can speak to us.
Amen.
Lord, if he's a sinner in here tonight, please, please, dear God, convict her heart. Save him before it's too late. Now use your man mightily, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. The Gospel of Mark, if you will turn to a passage in chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 tonight. I'll read the text in just a moment. Mark chapter 1. Short text, it's only got four verses this evening. And this year in camp meeting, my part of camp meeting, we're not going to be in a chapter. I often do a psalm, or we'll study a chapter of scripture or a paragraph. These will be, as far as I know now, believing I'm following the Lord, four different sermons.
Amen.
But I will say this, and you'll notice it as soon as I've read my text. This sermon tonight, part of it will involve a bird. Let me spell that. B-I-R-D, a bird. The text tomorrow night, though I don't know for sure where that text will be, will involve a bird. Then again, Lord willing, on Tuesday night and on Wednesday night, a series of four sermons, each text at least involving some bird of the Bible. Somehow God interested me in that theme, that idea, several weeks ago. And I have been, anybody here believe God made the birds? Aren't they beautiful? There's a short passage in the book of Job. It says this, God's talking. Ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. Or ask the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Speak to the earth, and it will declare unto thee. What are they declaring? I'll need an amen. The wisdom and the power of God. The heavens do declare His glory. The firmament shows His handiwork. The birds of the Bible. I hope that'll stir up a little interest in somebody and you'll think, wonder what bird he'll discuss. I don't even know the answer to that myself yet. The Lord will show it in due time. The birds of the... Jesus said it, consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. They don't sow, they don't spin, and yet, guess what? Our Heavenly Father takes care of them.
Amen.
Clothes them. And hint, hint, you're worth a whole lot more than those ravens that He was talking about. Jesus is saying He can care for us as well. My text tonight in Mark 1 will focus on the life of Jesus, an event in His life. Probably an event that is often overlooked, but nonetheless important. I'll say this, if it happened to Jesus, it is important. Our Savior, our Lord. Years ago, a brilliant, skilled, spirit-filled British preacher named George Campbell Morgan, G. Campbell Morgan, preached a series of sermons and then wrote a book on this subject, The Crises, that's crisis, but it's plural, The Crises of the Christ. He went through the major episodes in the life of Jesus and preached through his earthly life using those momentous occasions. Tonight's text, he considered. I looked at some of what he said. He's above my head. I tried to keep up as he talked. Mark 1, verse 9. Mark 1, verse number 9. If you will follow along as I read my text. Mark 1, verse 9. Now I want to go on record. I've got my Bible. I think I'll add a little bit further. It's King James Version. And so I've already marked my text and it's here. But I did something just before we left for the service. Hope I'll get a smile. It's called copy and paste. And I put my text in large print on a half a piece of poster board. I can read it more easily that way. Can carry it with me. Amen. As I try to talk to you. Is that all right with y'all? Amen. I wouldn't offend anybody. I will say this. That's God's word too. Boy, some of you are a little hesitant. It's not that $70 leather cover that makes what you're holding the word of God. It's what God says. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth, where he was reared, from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John. That's John the Baptist, isn't it? In Jordan, the river in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water. You can't come up out of the water unless you've been in the water. Coming up out of the water. He, Brother Charles, that's got to be Jesus. He saw the heavens opened. And the Spirit, is that a capital S in your Bible? Would you notice? And the Spirit, like a, you tell me, like a, that's a bird, like a dove descending upon him, upon Jesus. And there came a voice from heaven saying, now the other gospel accounts, we'll put it this one, thou art my beloved son. I'm sorry, the other gospel accounts will say, this is my beloved son. I got it right, I think, that time. This is my, watch Mark. The voice does not speak about Jesus. It speaks unto Jesus. Thou art my beloved son. Get me an amen when I read this next clause. In whom I am well pleased. That's the account of the baptism of our Savior. But verse 12, I said four verses. I want to read it. And immediately, the Spirit, still a capital S if you'll notice, driveth him. That's a strong verb. We'll talk about it. Driveth him into the wilderness, into the desert. You may be seated. Thank you for standing as I read the Word of God. Now, before the text is over, I'll talk a little bit about one of the birds of the Bible, the dove. But I determined as I pondered this series, I don't just preach about birds. I want to preach the text. And we'll deal with the bird as the text deals with the bird. I want to be a Bible preacher. Verse by verse. And it came to pass. Notice how it starts. And it came to pass. The little Greek verb literally means God birthed it into existence. God allowed it to happen. And it came to pass. I find this interesting, and you preachers, we should interact and share with me on this. Mark only uses this expression, and it came to pass, four times. Once here in chapter 1, twice in chapter 2, and then once in chapter 4. That means from Mark 5 all the way through Mark 16, he never uses this expression again. It came to pass. It came to pass. I'm taking too long on this. It came to pass. It's called that clause, a temporal marker. It's Mark's way, or it would have been Matthew's or Luke's way. And next. And next. And next. And it came to pass. But watch this. Why did Mark only use it four times, and then as he continued to write, he segued to other means of showing the events in the life of our... Oh, I have to announce this. In the Gospel of Mark, more than in any other gospel, I hope I'll get two or three amens, Jesus is a busy, busy, busy Savior. Matthew tends to want to give us Jesus sermons. Great detail on what he preached. Mark really doesn't give us Jesus sermons. Mark's not as interested in what Jesus said, get me an amen, as he's interested in what Jesus did. Mark presents him as the servant, not coming to be ministered unto, but to serve, to minister, and give his life a ransom for it. I'll tell you what I think's going on. Of course, you'll say amen to this. The Holy Ghost wrote the whole book of Mark. No doubt about that. But I think Mark starts out, and it came to pass, and only four times, and it came to pass, and then he goes to other means of switching incidents and events in your life, because Mark, as he writes this gospel... I don't even know if y'all will buy this, if y'all will adopt it, if you'll believe. Mark, as he writes this gospel, he's the youngest of all the gospel writers. No doubt about that. The youngest of all the gospel writers. I may not even get an amen. He grows. He develops. He matures as he writes that gospel. You know what I hope? Let me change. You know what I pray? I hope I'll be a better preacher when I leave here Wednesday night than I am going in. I want to grow, I want to develop, and I hope I'll be a better student of the Word of God, a better lover of my Savior. Can I get an amen? We're wasting our time here if we're not here to advance and develop and grow in our Lord. And that means, if I'm anywhere near right, Mark, as he ends his gospel, is going to do some mighty powerful preaching. Some mighty gets better and better and better. By the way, with Jesus, it always gets better and better and better. How's that go? Every day with Jesus is sweeter, sweeter than the day. The longer I serve him, you tell me, the sweeter he grows. I wish I had time now. I brought it up. I'd love to show you how Mark ends his gospel. Of course, he ends with the crucifixion story. Then the resurrection will follow. But Mark does, I can't preach it, but I can drop a hint. I hope I can create a, Mark does not end his crucifixion story as a sad tale, as a note of victory, as if they finally got out of, Mark ends it with Jesus Christ being presented as victor, Lord, Master. He presents Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. It came to pass in those days. Must be important. Every word in the Bible is important. Even in those days, that little preposition. What days? And I'm convinced of this. the days of the height of John the Baptist's ministry. John the Baptist has drawn crowds. John the Baptist has repudiated hypocrisy. John the Baptist has seen converts come migrate, and at the very height, all of Judea going out to hear John preach in those days. See if you'll amen it. And the day Jesus showed up, John reached his height. The day Jesus showed up, and get me some amens or some not, John the Baptist started his downward trajectory. John chapter 3, verse 30, John said it of our Lord, he must increase, and I must decrease. In those days. The Lord should show up. Let's us get out of the way and let him do what he wants to do. Let him be magnified. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. I can see now, I'm not going to have time to talk about every word in every verse, but I do need to say this about Jesus. Let me tell you what the word Jesus means. Hope I get an amen. Jehovah saves. It's identical to Joshua in the Old Testament. Boy, I'm glad I got a Redeemer tonight. I'm glad I got somebody that's washed my sins away. I'm glad I got somebody that's written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus saves. Amen. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Let me say 45 seconds worth about Nazareth. Interesting word. Netzar. We believe that's the Hebrew root from which it comes, Netzar. And what does Netzar mean? Preachers, put on your thinking cap. It means branch. A branch. A branch. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the branch. He's the branch that grew up out of the stem, out of the stock of David. I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's the greater son of David. I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's the coming king of Israel. You see how the Holy Ghost is linking this together? Jesus, who is my Savior. Jesus, who is from Nazareth, the branch that's promised from the days of Isaiah 11 onward. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Galilee. He is a Galilean. What in the world does that mean? The word Galilee means circuit. Probably because the Sea of Galilee is roughly an oval, sort of heart shape, 13 miles one way, about 8 miles the other, 64,000 acres involved in it. He is from Galilee. But more than that, let me tell you something about Galilee. That's where the country hicks lived. Y'all don't use that term. I can tell right off. That's where the nobodies came from. I'm still not getting to you. That's where the ignoramuses lived. People couldn't read, couldn't write, as backward. They were not very eloquent in their expression, a Galilean. You see, anybody that had any credentials, they came from Judea. They came from Jerusalem. They'd been around the organized religionists of their day. Galilee. I just got to quote one verse. Mark uses it. I think I'll get some amens. And the common people, how'd that go? And the common people heard him gladly. Hallelujah. I tell you what I am. I'm one of them common people. You looking at a nobody, you looking at a country hick, you looking at somebody that's as introvertish as they come, you looking at somebody that not a thing in the world eloquent about it, but one day the Holy Ghost came where I was, one day the Lord Jesus washed my sin away in his precious blood, hallelujah, I'm a saved nobody tonight. He's a Galilean. Remember what they asked when they started telling about Jesus? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Out of Galilee? And somebody said, come and see. Boy, I'm glad I came one day. And I've been seeing ever since. Came from Nazareth of Galilee. I got to hurry. And was baptized of John in the Jordan. John didn't want to do it. John had rather Jesus baptize him. But my text is clear. He was baptized of John in the Jordan River. See if you'll amen it or agree anyway, amen or not. Jesus didn't have to be baptized. You won't agree with that if you don't, but baptism's a picture of what happened when we got saved. Death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't need to get saved. Why didn't Jesus need to get saved? Because he never sinned. Help me somebody. Why is he being baptized? Why is he going through an outward picture of death, burial, and resurrection when he don't need to repent? He does not need to suffer it. John, I know you don't want to suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness, our Lord said. He's being baptized, hope I get an amen, to identify with you and to identify with me who had to die to ourselves, be buried in Christ Jesus our Lord, and be raised. He's identifying with us in that baptism. Are y'all all right with that? Baptism. Go to Paul, go to Romans 6. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of death. Jesus is identified. Listen to Luke chapter 12, verse number 50. I've got a baptism to be baptized with. He's got death. I've got a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straightened until it be accomplished. I can't wait till I can die on that cross. I will not be satisfied till I can accomplish that baptism. Jesus. And save me 5 minutes here. Baptism is not by sprinkling. John the Baptist did not sprinkle Jesus. Baptizo. John the Baptist immersed Jesus. Coming up out of the water. Y'all okay with that? Wouldn't it be something if at the funeral they got a little bit of dirt and say, now we're going to bury him. You can't bury somebody by sprinkling dirt on them. You got to put them under. Got to put them under. Baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what baptism is to us today in our Bible-believing churches? Say, forget an amen. It doesn't help save you. It doesn't keep you saved. It does not do one thing regarding your salvation. Am I right or wrong? Salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus, plus nothing and minus nothing. It's a gift of God, not of works. Well then, Brother Bagwell, why am I going to be baptized? It is a public, listen to this, it is a public testimony of what happened when you got saved. It is customary. Friends will come, relatives will come, a co-worker might, and you can preach the gospel to them. They might get saved while they're there, and you publicly will enter that baptistry. That man of God will play upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I baptize you in the name of the Father, dead to what I used to be, buried with my Savior. Anybody believe Jesus was buried after he died? But thank God they're not going to leave you under the water. And they didn't leave Jesus. God brought him up to walk in newness of life. I'm pretty sure I'm safe saying it. God wants us to be baptized. Not to get saved, as a testimony of having been saved. I want to spend about 2 minutes there. This is an area where God gave me victory, real victory in my life. Just got a question. Have you been baptized since you were saved? Have you been baptized since you were saved? Well, now, Brother Bagwell, I was baptized years ago, and no, I don't think I got saved later, but that's all right. I've still been baptized. Listen to me carefully. Everybody won't agree. If you've not been biblically baptized since you were saved, I don't believe in God's eyes you have been baptized properly. Think about it. Check up on it. Pray about it. And I'll guarantee you this. If the Holy Ghost stirs your heart in this area, if you'll follow through on public believer's baptism, He'll give you a peace. He'll give you a joy. He'll give you a victory, the likes of which you have seldom experienced in your Christian. That's all I want to say about that. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Where am I now? Verse 10. Straightway. Oh, I got to talk about that word. That's probably Mark's favorite word. Straightway. Euthus. Euthus. It's a Greek adverb. Euthus. Straightway. Sometimes in Mark, by our King James, translated immediately. Straightway, immediately. It's got the idea in a hurry. That word in our New Testament only occurs 80 times. Think of it, 80 times. 40 of those times, Mark alone uses it. 16 chapters out of the New Testament's 260 chapters uses straightway or immediately 50% of the time. Mark loves this word. That's why I began the sermon by saying this. Somebody smile at me or just remember I said it. Jesus is always in a hurry. Immediately. Straightway. Anon. And straightway, coming up out of the water. Coming up out of the water. He, that's Jesus, saw the heavens opened. Saw, it does mean to see, but it means to see with understanding. He saw the heavens open. Let me give you that verb, open. It is our word schism. The heavens were ripped apart. He saw the heavens opened. And the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. Then watch this. Somebody's going to say something. I know who it is. It's God the Father. Amen. How in the world you know it's God the Father? Read what he said. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This will take me 3 minutes. Stay with me. I don't want to just teach. I want to preach, but stay with me. The Holy Ghost, as He writes the New Testament, does this hundreds and hundreds of times. He'll begin a passage and end a passage in a similar way. Hear me now. Often, I choose my text based on that beginning marker and that ending marker that the Holy... It happens so often, those that study the forms of the Bible, they call it inclusio. Same mark here, same mark here, everything in the middle covering that general theme. Some of the Bible teachers call it bracketing. I came across a new word this week studying. Interculation. Same idea. Interculation. Let me show you what I mean. The book of Mark, the whole gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 1, at its beginning, here's Jesus. He's the center of attention, and something gets ripped. Something gets torn. There's a schism. And when that rent takes place, somebody says, that's him, that's God, that's Jesus. Jesus is getting baptized, the heavens get ripped open, and God the Father said, that's my boy, and I'm well pleased in him. Let's go to the end of Mark. Jesus is still the center of attention. But this time he's not coming up out of the water. He's been nailed to an old rugged cross. He's ready to breathe out his last, paid for the sin debt of the world. It is finished, he cries with a loud voice. Think of it, with a loud voice. And something ripped. The veil of the temple, will I get an amen? Ripped in twain. Now all I got to do is find somebody saying he's God. He's the one. It's not God this time. It's a soldier standing over there. He's watched the Lord die. He's seen the veil of the temple rent in twain. And he says, truly, truly, no doubt to me, this man is the Son of God. Starting and ending with the very same thing. That's called inclusio, interculation. And that's exactly what we've got going on here. He saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending on him. Now, I've come across some commentators who say, well, is the Spirit like a dove, but you couldn't see it. Well, that's not what my text says. Are y'all with me? Looks to me like this dove typifying the Holy Ghost is visible. He saw the heavens open and he saw the Spirit implied like a dove descending on him. I got to try to preach a few minutes about Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Let me look at my time. I keep up with my time. I'm at 31 minutes. 58 seconds. Are y'all okay? I know it's warm. I got this coat on. I'm warm myself. But I'm interested. The Spirit of God like a dove descending upon our Savior. I'm going to make a statement. Boy, I hope you're mentally on your toes. That's not Jesus' first experience with the Holy Ghost. Jesus would have never been here. He could have never been born without the Holy Ghost. Joseph was not Jesus' daddy. The Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary. That's how the miracle of his birth occurred. The Holy Ghost at Jesus' birth. I'm pretty sure the Holy Ghost, let me preach 1 minute and cover what I would have normally said in 10 minutes. The Holy Ghost had control of Jesus, his entire life, his entire ministry. This baptism where the Spirit comes on him like a dove is a public representation. It is an important event in which the Holy Ghost puts his stamp of approval. Need an amen on the ministry of our Lord. Paul puts it this way, talking about Jesus. Y'all are okay? For the record, I got liberty. I'm enjoying, because some of you are hanging on to it, sharing these truths about our Savior. This is what Paul said. Jesus was justified in the Spirit. Justified. Let me tell you what that means. Make me a little room right here, fellas, if you will. It means everything Jesus did, the Holy Ghost said, that's right. That's okay. You did that real well. Justified. Justified in the Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit like a dove descending on the Lord at the baptism? The baptism is the first public event from the 30 silent years. We don't hear a thing for 18 years from Jesus being age 12 till age 30. All those silent years. And then the 3 years of public ministry. The baptism is the break in those two events. This is the Holy Ghost saying, Jesus, you did it right when you was 12 years old. You did it right in the carpenter shop. You did it right in all of your labor. And now, looking forward to the next 3 years, Jesus, I got news. You're going to do it right then, too. Jesus said, I always do the things that please my Father. That please my Father. The Holy Ghost, like a dove, descending upon our Savior. I want to preach a few minutes. No sooner has the baptism occurred, and the way it's going, I may not get to preach verse 12 anyhow. The Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. I need an amen or a nod to be tempted of the devil. Watch this. I hear them say, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, there won't be any battles. I got a different view on that. I think mine's biblical. You're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to face a lot of battles. Drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I'm going to try to say this very quickly. IFTRP. That's my memory prop. You and the Holy Ghost. IFTRP. Listen up. It's a letter beginning with I. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you are right now indwelt. Indwelt by the Holy Ghost. I love y'all and you're sure helping me and encouraging me, but I was thinking I'd get a better amen there. How many of you know the Holy Spirit of God? If we're saved, we know Him, don't we? Indwell. He has turned us into His temple. I-F. What in the world does the F stand for in I-F-T-R-P? Not only being indwelt with the Spirit, there'll be some difference of opinion here, and I'm going to love every one of you. I need to be filled. F-I-L-L, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There are arguments between good men on this. Is it a matter I've already got all the Holy Ghost and He needs to get all of me? Could be. But I'm saying this, if there's more of the Holy Ghost that I can get, if I'm lacking, if I'm slack anywhere, I want it, I want Him, I want His strength, I want His touch, I want His fruit. Could I get an amen there from the rest? Filled. And there's no doubt in my mind Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. I-F, indwelt and filled. What's that T? I-F-T-R-P, T. Curtis, you said it a minute ago, testing. Test. If you're indwelt by the Spirit of God and if you're filled with the Spirit of God, I promise you, you're going to get tested along the way. Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested of the devil. R. I-F-T-R-P. I'm getting tired of saying it. I-F-T-R-P. What's the R? It's how you whip the devil. Resist. Resist. Does anybody believe Jesus resisted the devil those 40 days in the wilderness? How did He resist him? How did He resist him? He resisted him 3 times and He resisted him with these words. I need an amen. It is written. He used the word of God. I can't outrun the devil. I can't outsmart the devil. I can't outdo the devil. But I can get out my sword and I can whip the devil. Hallelujah. IFTR, indwelt, filled, tested, resisting. What's that P? What's that P stand for? And only Luke uses it. And it's in Luke chapter 4. After Jesus indwelt with the Spirit and the doves, after he's filled with the Holy Ghost, after he's tested by the devil, after he resists, Luke says he came back out of the wilderness. I'll need some smiles. In the power. In the power of the Holy Ghost. In the power of the Holy Ghost. You see it? Oh my, if I can be indwelt, if I can be filled, if I can be tested, if I can resist, I can come back in the power. Oh, how I want, get me an amen. I want the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. And the Spirit came down upon Jesus like a dove. Wish I had time. Might even take a minute or two. Talk to you. I don't know how this is going to go over. About your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. I had a preacher rebuke me one night for that. Personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. There ain't no such thing. You listen to me. The Bible says there is such a thing. Well, I'd sure like to know where. Well, I'm glad you ask. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14. Paul ends that 2 Corinthians epistle this way. He wants us to learn to live, King James, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Hear that, Brother John? In the communion of the Holy Ghost. I think that means I can leave here tonight. Deb and I can ride back to the room in the car, and the Holy Ghost in me could just have us some communion. I promise you that's how Jesus lived his life. Oh my, I'm about to get off subject. I'm getting so excited. In Isaiah chapter 50, Jesus, through Bible prophecy, Jesus said, my Father wakes me every morning. He wakens my ear every morning and says he speaks to me. He talks to me. He gives me words to help the weary, words to help the discouraged. You know why Jesus got up every morning a great while before that? Why? Because the Holy Ghost was working with our Lord. The Father was teaching Jesus love and lived in communion with the Holy Ghost of God. I guess that's where my heart is tonight. I want to invite you, and you and you and you, and preacher, you, to develop, will I get an amen, a closer relationship with God the Holy Ghost. He is a forgotten member of the Trinity in way too many places. Let me show you something. And you look at this different ways, and I'll not cram it down your throat, but I still want to show you. The Old Testament, I believe, emphasizes God the Father. God the Father that created the world. God the Father that called Abraham. God the Father that built the nation. God the Father. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no doubt about that. The emphasis, need an amen, is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Testament, God the Father. Gospels, God the Son. Guess who's emphasized in the book of Acts, in the epistles, in the book? I'll tell you who it is. Need an amen, God the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I'm not living in the era of God the Father. That's Old Testament. He's on the throne. Hallelujah. I'm not doubting that. I'm not living in the era of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in heaven, right hand of God, interceding for me right now. I am living in the era of God, E-R-A, of God, the Holy Ghost. And it's the Holy Ghost who dwells in me. It's the Holy Ghost who wants to fill me. It's the Holy Ghost who wants to, it's the Holy Ghost with whom I ought to be communing. Are y'all okay? Man, I need to be closing this sermon, but I got to show you something else. I didn't come up with it. Not my idea. I'm not going to steal credit. It's an old Puritan. Years ago, an old Puritan wrote it. I'll give you his name if you want to ask me about it later. The name of the book, please listen, Communion with God. That's all that's on the cover. Communion with God. He divides his book into thirds. First section's on communion with God the Father. Second section's on communion with God the Son. And the third section's on communion with God the Holy Ghost. That old divine, that old godly man, he believed you could have communion. Hope I get an amen with the Godhead. Do you ever think about getting up in the morning, saying something to God the Father? Now this will go sour if I'm not careful. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for devising the plan of salvation. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for preparing a place for me in heaven. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Son. What in the world would be wrong with saying, God, the Holy Ghost, if I get an amen, I may not. I love you. Holy Ghost, I sure am grateful you came to me and you loved me and you wooed me and you drew me and you made Jesus lovely to me and you have filled me and you're trying to produce your fruit in me. Could I get an amen from anybody? You say, I don't like that. Well, you do what the Holy Ghost leads you to do with it, I guess. I'm trying to talk about Him. And we need to commune with the Holy Ghost of God. In my attempt, where did I put my verses? Thank you. In my attempt to close my soul, preacher. I said I was going to preach on a bird. Hadn't even got to him yet. The Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. Like a dove. Wonder why a dove. This may be the highest honor given to a bird anywhere in all the Bible. Like a dove. Do you know this? And I'm sure you do. The dove is the only bird in our King James Bible. Pigeons and doves are used interchangeably. It's the only dove God would allow to be sacrificed. Sacrificed as a propitiation, as a covering for sin. They'd take that little bird, and the priest was instructed to wring off his neck. Squeeze out its blood. Cleave it asunder. Burn it on the altar. The dove. Why the dove? Preacher, you said it a minute ago. Will I get a name? The dove is a clean, pure animal. I might preach one night about the raven. Not a clean animal. I might, don't know how God's going, might preach one night about the ostrich. Sort of want to. That's not a clean animal either. Could easily, any preacher would want to preach about the sparrow. Beautiful little, but not a clean animal. The bird that we know is the dove sacrificed. Could I say something about the, hey, doves will not eat carrion. They will not eat dead, rotting meat. They'll eat seed. They'll eat little berries. They'll eat certain kinds of fruit. A dove, like the Holy Ghost, I need an amen real quick, is a clean animal. Communing with the Holy Spirit. Communing with the Holy Spirit. First bird mentioned in the Bible looks to me like it's a dove. Watch. By name, I guess it's a raven, but watch. See if anybody believes this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, like a dove, and the Spirit of God moved, fluttered, like a dove does, moved upon the face of the waters. These waters are dark, dreary, foreboding, chaotic, and nothing happens till the Spirit, like a bird, begins to brood, begins to move, begins to flutter. Let me tell you, first thing that happened when you got saved, the good Holy Ghost, the good dove of God began to move and flutter in your life. Holy Ghost got the fluttering, the darkness and the chaos, and God said, let there be light, and there will there'll never be light till the Holy Ghost gets to fluttering, gets to brooding in our hearts. Let me tell you something, and I believe it. I believe it with every fiber of my being. I could be preaching tonight or tomorrow night, or it could have happened earlier last week in Burke County, and the Holy Ghost just might have showed up where you were. Just got the fluttering. Just got the hovering. Telling you something you needed to do. Telling you something you ought to do. Thank God. Thank God for the hovering power of the good Holy Ghost of God. A little dove, about 10 inches long. Sleek little bird, beautiful little bird. Its feathers radiate the light. Iridescent light comes off that little... Once the dove mates, he stays with that same female bird. I need an amen for the rest of its life. Doves are faithful. Doves... Y'all ever notice out in your yard, if you see one of them, you're more likely to see two. They're faithful to their... Oh, I've got to preach something about the Holy Ghost. He sure has been faithful to me. I read this. There are men who study it, giving their lives to it. Says that male little dove can't take his eyes off his mate. Little eyes constantly watching his mate. You say, boy, I don't know what to think about that. Well, I'll tell you what I think about. I'm glad God's got his eyes on me. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God's never been anything but faithful and loving to me. In fact, in the Song of Solomon, she's bragging on her bridegroom, says, you've got dove's eyes. You, my Savior's got dove's eyes. Oh, boy. And preacher, you may just have to grab my coattail. I'm trying to slow this thing down and I'm trying to quit preaching. I got to tell you something else about the dove. They're wonderful at feeding their young. This is what they do. They get those seed, clean seed, decent seed. They put it in their esophagus. They don't call it crop, C-R-O-P. And it stays there. They digest it some there. This may sound sort of gross to you, but this is what they, male and female, mama and daddy dove, turn that seed into nutritious milk. And they go to their young. And they ingest into their young that they say it's got more protein than any other milk in the animal world. They ingest that protein. Let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. See if I get, he sure is good at feeding us milk. The milk of the Word and the bread of the Word and the meat of the Word. Oh, there's so much about the good Holy Ghost and about him being a picture of the dove. And here it descends on our Savior and on our... Doves are ubiquitous. I learned that word the other day. Ubiquitous. What in the world does that mean? Some Latin. They're everywhere. Any continent, either hemisphere, doves. There are over 700 species of doves on planet Earth. They're everywhere. Except the coldest regions of the North and South. And the driest areas of the mid-equator desert. The Holy Ghost is everywhere except where it's too cold and too dry. Y'all get it? Too cold and too dry. Oh my. I don't want to be in one of them cold outfits that freezes out the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be in one of them dry environments where He does not have power and liberty to work in our hearts and in all I'm trying to do. And this is one hashed up mess of a sermon. I love Him. I thank Him that He saved me. I'm glad He indwells me. I'm glad He fills me. I'm glad He can empower me. I want to learn to commune like my Savior, to commune with the Holy Ghost more. And then in closing, probably what you've been waiting to hear for a while. In closing, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Sue, Ime, Agapitas, Huios, Thou art God the Father talking. Thou art my beloved Son. He could have used technon. That's a son, it's our word technician. That's a son that needs some fine tuning. Needs a little bit of work done on it. He didn't use technon. Huios. That's a son in all of His glory. In all of His magnificence. Boy, I'm glad I know who Jesus' Son is today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And armed with that truth, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness where he whips the devil. I've tried to preach tonight on the Holy Spirit in our life. Does anybody believe this? I believe the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. We often say third person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean God's got more power than Jesus and co-equal, co-eternal. Anybody with me? I believe that. And if the Holy Ghost is a person, I'm done. If you'll give me 3-4 minutes, I'm done. If the Holy Ghost is a person, I sort of get the idea you could hurt His feelings. I got a yell or two and a little bit here. No, you can't hurt the Holy Ghost's feelings. Listen to Paul. Grieve not. Lupeo. Don't hurt. Grieve not the Holy Ghost of God. Whereby you say, I'm sick of this kind of preaching. I want nothing to do with it. Don't get out here and go home. Won't be back. You better be careful. Don't you grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Then Paul wrote this. Quench not. Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you turn a deaf, cold ear to His leading. All my life I've heard it preach a deeper relationship with the Lord, and I'm in favor of every bit of it. Loving God the Father. Years and years ago at Keswick in England, they had those deeper life conventions. Hallelujah. We need to learn to live deeper life. But I've preached tonight, the Holy Ghost, like a dove. Amen. One amen and I'm done. The Holy Ghost, like a dove, deserves our love and our communion and our fellowship. Let's stand with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if you will. Our musicians are coming, song leader. The devil's fought me like crazy this afternoon. Which text? How to go, which bird to emphasize. I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to be true to God's leading. Our musicians are going to play an invitation number. You're just going to have to do what the brooding Holy Ghost leads you to do. If He nudges you, if He flutters around you, somebody ought to come tonight to the altar and say, oh Lord, oh Lord, I want to get a better relationship. I want to learn to live, as Paul said, in the communion of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, let me become more sensitive that I grieve Him not, don't want to hurt Him. That I quench Him not, don't want to dampen the warmth, the flame of His presence in my life. I read today the Holy Ghost, the dove lives in a rock, a crevice, a cleft in the rock. Oh my, what a picture of our Savior, the security that is ours in Him. And He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother Charles, I knew a preacher, one of the most godly men I guess I've ever heard, said he prayed again and again and again all day long. Lord, fill me with the power. I need Your power. I need Your touch. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. What an admirable trait. Grant it, Lord. In our lives, we pray. Give us a number.